Jerome Corsi is on your screen. He's in Cleveland, and you started a bit of a firestorm on the radio talk shows this week. What was it all about?
Well, Brian, it's a great honor to be with you. I wrote an article in WorldNet Daily in which I'm discussing this new presidential directive. It was a national security and homeland security presidential directive, and the designations of it on the White House website are NS for National Security, PD for Presidential Directive 51, and HS for Homeland Security, PD 20. And Brian, what it did is it defined a national emergency in a very broad term. It gave the president the ability to declare that a national emergency existed, and then assumed that the president could take up the following powers, which is all national essential functions for continuity of the government, including directing all federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments, as well as private sector organizations, which were going to continue functioning under the president's directives in the event of a national emergency. And, Brian, I wrote about it because I think this is the most broad definition of emergency powers I've ever seen a president award to themselves. And it really is virtually dictatorial powers, the ability to take over and manage all levels of government, including private sector organizations. And the directives have no indication that to get these powers, the president has to go to Congress. It looks from the language as if the president, on his own declaration, President Bush could just say, well, we have an emergency, and there's some very broad definitions of emergency in the Security and Prosperity Partnership working groups. We have an emergency as avian flu, and I'm going to assume all these powers, and I'm now directing even tribal governments. So, Brian, I think it was a very alarming directive.
Beginning in October, the Army plans to station an active unit inside the United States for the first time to serve as an on-call federal response in times of emergency. The 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team has spent 35 of the last 60 months in Iraq, but now the unit's training for domestic operations. The unit will soon be under the day-to-day control of U.S. Army North, the Army Service component of Northern Command. The Army Times reports this new mission marks the first time an active unit has been given a dedicated assignment to Northern Command. The paper says the Army unit may be called upon to help with civil unrest and crowd control. The soldiers are learning to use so-called non-lethal weapons designed to subdue unruly or dangerous individuals and crowds.
The White House press release included no discussion of why the directive was issued today and what it's about. I called the White House, Tony Snow's office, in preparing for the article, and they declined to comment. So I published the article and said it's really a power grab, and it's quite an alarming usurpation of emergency powers.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Is there anybody out there?
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman.
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area. So may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution, and I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
We have lived as if in a trance. We have lived as people in fear. And now, our rights and our freedoms in peril, we slowly awaken to learn that we have been afraid of the wrong thing.
I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
I'm not too sure what he thought he was swearing to when he took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution and our laws.
You can roughly locate any community in the world somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism.
A government more dangerous to our liberty than is the enemy it claims to protect us from.
Avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
The Military Commissions Act of 2006.
And what I read here is pretty chilling.
And if you somehow think habeas corpus has not been suspended for American citizens, but only for everybody else, ask yourself this. If you are pulled off the street tomorrow and they call you an alien, or an undocumented immigrant, or an unlawful enemy combatant, exactly how are you going to convince them to give you a court hearing to prove you are not?
The bigger this war gets, the more freedoms we lose. It's time to stop submitting to this tyranny. It's time to realize that we're being enslaved. It's our tax dollars at work. Protect us from ourselves. Hey, guys, I used to be one of you. Stop selling out your own species!
The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it. We have handed a blank check drawn against our own freedom to a man who may now, if he so decides, declare not merely any non-American citizens unlawful enemy combatants and ship them somewhere, anywhere, but may now, if he so decides, declare you an unlawful enemy combatant and ship you somewhere, anywhere.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
So I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
First of all, this president's theory of his power is now, I think, so extreme that it's unprecedented. He believes that he has the inherent authority to violate federal law.
To move beyond that, it's the American people themselves that have to make a consensus that they do not trust Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney with the reins of power, given their very, very extravagant claims of what the president can do after 9/11, for example, utilize the idea that all of the United States is a military battlefield and they could impose martial law anytime they wish.
Biological or chemical attack on U.S. territory might trigger just that. And as KSLA News 12's Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. That forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
Civil rights advocates believe the amount of public cooperation may depend largely on how long they expect a suspension of their rights might last. Jeff Farrell, KSLA News 12 Report.
You feel America's going to be under some martial law pressure as soon as we get attacked again, is that correct?
The Homeland Security Committee and Congress, the highest level security clearances, are not allowed to see the details of PDD 51 signed May 9th of this year that literally makes the president a dictator. And last year, the president funded the John Warner Defense Authorization Act for domestic oppression of the American people. It actually says that it is for domestic insurrection and rebellion. This has nothing to do with terror.
Let's talk.
Is the military-industrial complex waging war on the people.
These changes pose a threat to the survival of our republic by giving the president the power to declare martial law for as little reason as to restore public order. The 1807 Act severely restricted the president in his use of the military within the United States borders. And the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 strengthened these restrictions with strict oversight by Congress. The new law allows the president to circumvent the restrictions of both laws. The Insurrection Act has now become the, quote, Enforcement of the Laws to Restore Public Order Act, close quote. This is hardly a title that suggests that the authors cared about or understood the nature of a constitutional republic. Before the war in the Middle East spreads and becomes a world conflict for which we'll be held responsible, or the liberties of all Americans become so suppressed we can no longer resist, much has to be done. Time is short, but our course of action should be clear. Each of us must choose which course of action we should take. Education, conventional political action, or even peaceful civil disobedience to bring about necessary changes. But let it not be said that we did nothing.
He's claimed that he can identify any American citizen as an enemy combatant, detain them indefinitely in Guantanamo Bay without access to lawyers, utilizing secret evidence to detain them. Those are the kinds of egregious violations of due process and notions of judicial review and checks that justify the conclusion that these are political crimes against the Constitution itself.
And the greatest chance for peace comes from a society respectful of individual liberty.